April 1, 2020, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro Show, people. Happy D Boone's B Day, Wednesday, April 1. We started the show off with John Coltrane doing Naima, something live. Whoa, you can hear my guest way over in Knoxville. Thank you, those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype stuff. I think Mr. Gates and Microshite Bumrush, but they created it. And so I'm not Brother Matt, 3 miles south here at the Love Grotto, so we're in quitting quarantino mode. But I'm not totally man alone here in my pad because of that Skype breakthrough stuff. I got, by the way, don't use Zoom, people. It's fucking data mine. I got Maggie Brandon here from Knoxville. Welcome aboard, Maggie. And we heard your lower interior tune, Charlie.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go all the way back of your music journey, Maggie. What's your earliest musical recollection?
I guess it would. I don't know. My mom's side of the family were all very musical. So I grew up, she played piano and sang, and,
so there was a piano in the house?
Yeah. I eventually took lessons, like, I think when I was in like third grade. And
can I ask you about that experience? Because on the show here, we've had everything from really good to real lame.
It was good. My teacher was, you know, stern, but caring. She just seemed kind of bored most of the time. I think she had a lot of kids in and out, you know.
That's what I noticed, that the experience is really predicated not on the instrument, it seems the teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people almost, they all drove them away from music.
Yeah, I lost interest in it. I wish I had kept it up, but I, after my, like, first recital, I was probably like, okay, I did it. Like, I'm good. You know, I don't need to do that anymore. Like, I don't need to go to that woman's house anymore.
But you did have one in the pad there, because your mop.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I banged around on it, and it was, by the end, it was pretty out of tune. And
so your earliest memory of music is hearing your mop play.
Yeah, that, and they had a lot of records and stuff, too. We played a lot of records at the house. They were very, I don't know, real into, I don't know, rock and roll, and they had a lot of friends, and they'd have parties, and people would bring records over, and it was really, it was cool. It was a pretty lucky situation as far as music goes.
Where was this, Maggie?
I grew up about 10 miles north of Knoxville in a community called Powell. Back then it was kind of redneck, but it's getting a little bougie now.
Back then, what, like 70s, 80s?
80s, yeah.
Okay, 80s. Yeah. So what was the first record you bought for yourself?
I think it was the Scorpions. Whatever one had the whistle song on it, what was the Winds of Change?
I think the one I had was the second one. It was called In Trance.
Uh-huh.
And it had a great, the first song was, I think, Robot Man. I thought that was a good tune. But yeah. The Hurricane era, yeah, I wasn't that much. but what was the first gig you saw?
Technically, I guess, or do you mean like punk rock show or just
live music, a gig, right?
I think it was Edgar Winter at the Chili Cook-Off in World's Fair Park here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Did you do Frankenstein?
You know, I think I was too young to know what exactly was going on.
You know, that was a huge song, right? Because, yeah, I'm 70s, right? Junior high and high school. So all the school bands play Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah.
And I just recently found out where he got the title. Because it was a 40-minute big prog thing, and he just chopped it up, so it was like a monster.
Yeah.
I never understood that, but it had a drum solo on an AM radio song, so that was wild. In school, were you in the choir or the school band, the marching band, shit like that?
I was in both. I excuse me. I I started playing trombone in middle school, but then I was like passing notes with my friend Jackie, so I didn't really learn how to play my instrument and kind of got kicked out. And so they put me in choir. And they could never find a place for me, because I would either sing things like soprano or like baritone. It was like I was in a different spot in the choir every song.
Wow.
And just kind of going free with it. But I was probably frustrating.
I heard the bone was good for marching band because big mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it bounces when you know, the trumpet's tough. Well, I heard the toughest was French horn, this little mouthpiece. And you know what I mean, while you're marching.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I never had any experience. I was in the San Pedro High Pirates marching band. So, in fact, I got kicked out after 10 weeks of trying to play the clarinet in 7th grade.
I just recently got a saxophone, and I wish I had, I don't know, I guess playing clarinet kind of leads to that, huh? Like,
well, yeah, there was 20 other guys who wanted to play sax, so that's why I got on the clarinet. But after 10 weeks, Mr. Luna said, "Mr. Watt, you try hard, but you should stop wasting your time and my time." And he looked at the class, our time.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You know, in 7th grade, I was totally destroyed. I never took another music class. I got into the music school of D. Boone and learned through John Fogerty and Buck Dharma. What about the shit after school with the garage band or the bedroom band, basement band?
Yeah, the first band I started playing in seriously, I guess I was like 19. We were called Divorce. We actually used to cover the Saint No Picnic.
I found a Divorce song up on YouTube.com I want to play in the third hour.
Oh, great.
Sour Cream.
Oh, yeah. That's
I found that. I also found something called The Sniffs. So Divorce was before The Sniffs?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably like 2002 to 2005 we were playing in Divorce. And
well, tell me how Divorce got together.
The bass player, Mitchell, and I were dating for quite a while, and our friend George played guitar, and at first we had a drummer named Jesse, and that we played with him for about a year, and he kind of went off, you know, went his own way, and then we weren't doing anything for about a year, and our friend Tyler moved back from, he was here for a little while, and then moved back from Reno, Nevada, and he had seen us play a show, and he was like, "I want to play drums for you guys, like really bad." So that was great because we all wanted to be playing, and he had like great energy, and I don't know, it was a little. We all did a lot of drinking and a lot of, you know, we had some wild times. So it imploded, but it was great.
And this is your first band.
Yeah. My first band that played shows.
Yeah. And were you guys, and you were, besides covered Minutemen, were you writing your own songs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were all, I don't know if we did another cover. That might have been our only cover. No, we did a Gun Club song, too. But everything else was original.
So are these the first songs you ever wrote?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, tell me about the first gig.
It was a house show. It was our friend, The Cheat, that we shared practice spaces with probably until the end. Like, they're great people. I think George played a set with his other band at the time called the Hometown Slackers Make Good. And I don't remember if there was another band.
Well, that's okay. I'm more interested in your personal experience. Were you scared? Yeah, oh. Were you scared?
I was nervous, I think, yeah. But then after the show, it was so much fun, and it was so wild. And
so it was a positive. People didn't throw shit.
Oh, no. People were great. They were like, I remember this, like, line of young, like, shirtless dudes just kind of standing in front of me, like, keeping me safe. And everybody was just really so receptive. I felt like I don't think I had ever felt that amount of, like, I don't know, approval or something before. I'm not sure if that's the right.
Well, it's better than probably using the word validation. But look, yeah. I want to play Parking Lot Blues, okay?
Get up before the sun. Put on your running shoes. Go on out. Make your way. The different streets to choose. Metropolitan day. Disappearing night. Shadows move like distant waves. Don't have to wonder why. Feeling the runner's high. Wanting some exercise. Hoping to qualify. So you are feeling the runner's high. Head on out to the pier. Seaport isn't new. As you run, you're changing gears. The ocean skies are blue. Horizon to the east. Silhouettes float and fly. Shadows move like distant waves. Don't have to wonder why. Feeling the runner's high. Wanting some exercise. Hoping to qualify. So you are feeling the runner's high.
the land and into the hills. Try to put a dent, and then I slept in your arms. She is fierce, she is righteous. She's the one who gives herself to you. She's the one who takes your hand and walks on fire with you. She's the girl. Now.
streaking by a dark field, shapes seem to rise and fall in and out of the darkness. Uncut stubble yields a phantom shape that slides away again. My dreams, blobs of an ocean, skittering through my mind, emerging and disappearing again, in and out with the good and the bad, trying to gain perspective from them. Just a fleeting chance you have as you awaken into the day, just like going by things in the field, trying to look out and stay on the road. What images I capture in my mind, I try to reconcile with reality, trying to get some good out of the some visions are purely ugly. Old traumas brought reeling back, but I try to look on the good side, getting life out of that chance before everything melts away again. I want to know what is in those fields, but I will never really get the chance. Always there is some place to go. It's nice to ponder them once in a while.
Pedro show, we heard Parking Lot Blues, Lower Interiors, which is a prog name that Maggie's got going for this album. That's, by the way, great fucking album.
Thank you, Mike.
We'll get into that later because I want to lead up to that. Then we had Johnny Campos with a version of T-Boone's song, Corona, which had nothing to do with this thing. You know, it was a beer bottle some lady was collecting so she could get money for her children in Mexico. It was on the 4th of July, and we were, we drank all night, so provided a bunch of empty bottles. Pat Irish with the Runner's High, upstate New York. Guy by Voices out of Dayton, the hearing department. Trotsky I Spit from here, SoCal. First music in like 20 years. She's Greater Than. Chris Burns, Montreal, Can't Be Still. Lucy Leave out of Oxford, England. Hey, Male Savior. Bilge Pump from Leeds. Bastard Scaffolder. Just sounds like from England. Bastard Scaffolder. Scaffolder. Scaffold Man. Joe Brewer, Madison. Jack Bruce Cousin, Disperforms, the Sacrum Trust. And then finally, Lover Inferior, Lower Interior. Wow, it rhymes.
A little tongue twister there.
That was a little clever for you to do. So, divorce ends up getting divorced, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, those things happen.
Yeah.
And so, it sounds like late teens. Do you go to college, music school, something like this?
No, I went to rock and roll school. I've been thinking about going back, but now everything's weird, so I don't even know what's going on.
that's the school that Vols, right?
Yep, that's the one. It's a plague upon the city every Saturday in the fall.
It was hard to play, and then finally there was a place. And, what was it called? It was two guys' name. It was actually a deli. The cat, when Scott Ashton got sick at the end of I did 125 months with the Stooges, and the last 2 years of that, Larry Mullins took over, and this is a drummer man from Knoxville. He lives in Maryland now, actually stuck in Vienna because of the situation. But he knew all about this. He knew about the big native guy who was the doorman. And
Was it Vic and Bills?
That's it, Vic and Bills.
Yeah.
And then, he just packs up a station wagon and comes to SoCal. What was this guy's name, Bonehead or something? I mean, it's a nickname. I think he went out with him. And he told me it was a crazy adventure, but it led to all, and he ended up doing like, most of the 90s is Ig's solo band drummer.
That's so great.
Yeah, Larry Mullins. Or you can find him on the internet as Toby Dammit.
Okay.
He uses that as it's from an Edgar Allan Poe story, Never Bet the Devil Your Head. So, I can imagine being in that scene in, I think this was late 80s. There was one band from there called Honor Roll and had a guy named Cap Chowders, who lives, I think, in New York now, maybe on Long Island somewhere. And, sometimes a smaller scene, it seems, provides more fertilizer for a good crop.
Yeah, this town's made a lot of good weirdos.
Well, for example, like the last Minutemen tour was with the REM guys, and they were they were at a Greek school, Athens, right? Bulldogs and shit.
Yeah.
And so this kind of pushed one way, made a push from the other way. So I'm wondering if it was like that in Knoxville.
There was definitely a lot of, rebellion against the football crowd and the sort of honky-tonk crowd. And I started going to shows probably in the late 90s or early 90s. There wasn't a lot. There was the Mercury Theater. I had just missed Griffin's. I think they closed down right when I started being able to go out. And it was a real small scene. And then the Mercury lasted for a while. And then there was a place called Neptune. There were a lot of house shows. My friend Laura ran a place called a Hell House. And those shows were really fun. But there was nothing for a while, and then the Pilot Light opened.
I got to play there, right.
Yeah.
And then it's that guy, he was kind of involved with the ears of MSSB was going to do with Mike Baghetta. Yeah, this.
Yeah.
And actually, I think he got his start with the Bonnaroo and this kind of thing.
Well, that's Ashley Capps, and he does not. So Jason Boardman runs the Pilot Light.
Yeah, but this festival.
He doesn't have anything to do with Bonnaroo. He does help do stuff with Big Ears, like he set a lot of the shows up.
Well, what I heard was when Big Ears started, it was just gigs at clubs. I think it still is like that, right? It's gigs at clubs around town.
Yes, yeah, correct.
That thing I saw of the Sniffs, though, was like you guys just playing outside.
Yeah, that was one of the first Big Ears. That's hilarious that you found that.
I mean, people deserve respect. I'm not trying to mix these guys up. Of course, The Pilot Lamp had their own thing, and Ashley with his big... But they kind of come together a little bit, right?
Yeah, they're trying to do some collaboration there. They're all on the same page with the Big Ears thing, you know, trying to get the right people in for it. But yeah, that Sniff show in the out of doors, that was one of the first Big Ears, and we were kind of doing like we were being rebellious about it, like just kind of like, I bet this is like the only time we can get away with just playing wherever right now. So we had like kind of there were like different stops. It was like kind of a walk and bike ride kind of thing. And we had different people set up all through downtown, and nobody said anything to us. We were like running off of car batteries and stuff.
There was a band with a VW bus. It would go to where the line was at the big, you know, alt rock show and just open up the hatches and start playing. I can't remember who they were. That was so balls out, I thought. But yeah, you know what I mean? Especially if you're claiming you're inclusive and stuff, and then you're still keeping people out. I mean, maybe they should get called on it. What did you do after divorce?
I guess I technically still am in a band called The Dirty Knees, with my friend Laura and Elizabeth Wright.
Dirty Knees.
We got tattoos on our second practice, so we're like a band forever.
Oh, okay.
And Laura moved to Indianapolis, but when she comes to town, we always try to play a show. And
who did you first record with? Did a divorce get to record?
Jason, that runs the Pilot Light, and he's pretty much recorded. He recorded the Lower Interior stuff.
Sounds good.
Yeah, almost every band I've been in, he's recorded. So.
Oh, is that the
Stripe Light? Yes.
Stripe Light. Okay. Yeah, I like what that's going on. I mean, it reminds me of kind of the old days we were in here, you know. Where you had to just make your own little... I know it's a huge, big metropolis shit, but believe it or not, the scene was so fucking small in the old days.
Yeah.
I kind of compare it to being in a smaller town. Yeah, because not even the Square Johns, but the fucking rock and rollers, quote rock and rollers, really hated the movement.
Yeah.
Assholes. Yeah. So you had to do things to go around them and stuff, but in the end, maybe it made us stronger, more independent, more, what's that word? Autonomous.
Yeah. I think something good about Knoxville, it being so small, I think everybody making something, there's no, like, there's not a lot of, like, genre divide, you
know?
That's good. Like, everybody kind of gets in there together. If that does exist, there's probably, like, between the, like, you know, artsy rock and roll punk rock crowd and the like Americana crowd maybe don't really mix that much, but everybody's kind of in it together, and it makes for it's a good breeding ground.
Yeah, you know, anyway, music's music, Jesus.
Yeah.
So corny to put labels on the shit.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I could see if you were a ska band. Okay. Or you could have the ska song in the set, you know, or the reggae song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whenever you get too much married to a motif, you know, and you lose sight of rhythm and interesting lyrics. Well, look, we're at the end of the first hour, April 1, 2020, Dish Watt Peter's Hook, special guest Maggie Brand, hold tight for hour two. April 1, 2020. It's the second hour of the Live from Pedro show.
Hey, it's Tim Don. It's kind of funny. You know, I just like listen to the message that I left on your little phone, your adoption. I could listen to it. And I listened to it. I'm like, God, that sounded really stupid.
That's not really stupid. Thank you. rush up and say I'll take another. I take another bottle of you. I take another bottle of whiskey. I take another bottle of two. Oh, I love to travel far and near, my native land. I love to sail, and as I go, cash in hand. I love the girl in distress that happened my way. You better believe I feel quite fine when folks run up and say I take another bottle of whiskey. I take another bottle of two. I take another.
Popular culture of our infantry and into barren wasteland. There are no cultural products and now active release from bacteria. These mines provide some entertainment or, perhaps, provide some much needed insight. Most artists are reduced to social media influencers who repeat the Orwellian orders heard everywhere else around the world. Stay home and wash your hands. In short, nearly all forms of social cultural distraction replaces war-covered coverage. As people consume a steady stream of frightful news, levels of anxiety keep going up, creating an ideal context for the introduction of police state measures. And these measures were welcomed with thundering applause. High-tech police state. Chinese citizens must show government-issued QR code on their phone in order to take public transportation. The threat of a deadly pandemic is a perfect context to introduce aggressive police state tactics. People are less committed to the decisive measures taken by their government. However, once this is all said and done, will society recover 100% of its freedom? Or will gradually go back to 50%, celebrating each percent as a victory? First casual tools to a pandemic was that. Simply, it just all flights were cancelled and go back home soon as. Everyone was toast down. In a matter of moments went spanning large gatherings of two plus people. Extended restrictions on human generated a cloud of fear and paranoia of people began to alert authorities of illegal gathering. While these snitches would argue that police
said in the being said, police and pandemic lockdown
sticks.
The pandemic has also justified the use of high-tech surveillance at a level never seen before. Here are some examples from around the world. In China, government installed CCTV
cameras
point at the apartment
door of
those under a 14-day quarantine to ensure they don't leave.
Drones tempt people to wear their masks.
Mobile apps highlight the health
individuals.
In Singapore, the government
rolled out all trace together. Bluetooth cell phones to see of the coronavirus have been in close contact with other people. Over in Hong Kong, some were made aware of that related to a smartphone and alert authorities if a person left their place of quarantine. In South Korea, the government used records such as credit card transactions, smartphone location data, as well as computers where concerned cases are tracked. The result was a map that could tell people when they had gone near a coronavirus area. On Thursday, the South Korean government launched an enhanced tool that it says can help track patients even more closely in their real time in order to
see where the disease was moving.
Meanwhile, Israel's security agency Shin Bet is using citizens' cell phone location data to track where they've been so they can enforce quarantine controls and monitor the movements of those infected.
Controversially, the data has been collected over the past few years and intended to for counter-terrorism purposes,
the New York Times reported.
The newspaper said this data came from the collection of
it had not been previously reported.
Some parts of India were stamping the hands
of people arriving at airports telling them how long they had to be quarantined, Reuters reported. Reservation data from airlines and trains were being monitored to make sure those people didn't travel, the report added. In the South Indian state of Kerala, authorities have been using a mixture of telephone call records, surveillance camera footage and phone location data to track down people who may have been in contact with coronavirus patients. In the US, the government is talking to Facebook, Google, tech companies about the possibility of using location data from American smartphones to combat coronavirus. CNBC,
use of surveillance and fight
coronavirus
rage and about government power after pandemic ends. Robert Khan, the executive director of the Surveillance Technology, believes that most of these measures are here to stay. He stated, we have absolutely no reason to believe that the government agencies that are eager to expand their power in response to COVID-19 will need to see those authorities lapse once the virus is eradicated. The after pandemic will lead to another major source of concern, the economy. Major economy shift, initial unemployment insurance claims in the United States. From 2010 to 2020, a steady decline, at a further historical peak. COVID-19 incited several governments to enact a controversial measure, the closing of all non-essential businesses. This led to millions of workers to instantly losing their jobs. It also led to some unhealthy
in which businesses are deemed essential.
While most major
corporations will dwindle to hire back employees,
of more than need businesses not to the shut. Which and also the experience major chains such as Walmart, Costco, Walgreens, McDonald's and Amazon. In fact, due to the jumps in sales, Amazon recently announced the hiring over 1,000 employees to help cope with the demand.
Not hiring over 1,000
Is that the number of that?
Government. 20. A decline. The closing of all the closing of line Georgia, the close all their jobs. Hire back employees. Great number of businesses will shut down. Financial aid that is impacted by the shutdown,
however,
does not come out
of thin air. It will result in massive debts and,
most likely,
higher taxes. In poorer countries, financial aid is rare or non-existent, a recipe for impending chaos.
In the end, all economic crises always end up favoring the elite. The net result of the financial crash of 2008 and its bailouts led to the funneling of tens of trillions of dollars from the pockets of the middle class towards the world elite. This economic crisis will most likely end with similar results. In conclusion,
while the above assessment might seem grim, it is an objective analysis of a planet in lockdown.
In a matter of weeks,
the entire planet
went from normalcy to fear, panic,
paranoia,
confinement,
unemployment,
police state
surveillance and extreme social distancing. Millions of citizens who thrived
on freedom and free enterprise
are now on house arrest and must rely on the government
for subsistence.
Although the absolute
necessity of
the measures is up
for the vote, there is no possible debate
about their necessity once the virus is gone. And we need to make sure that the dystopian
nightmare we are living now
is permanent.
Because, right now, some power-hungry people are salivating and they will only want
more of this. In these critical times,
we must keep track of the many ways society is being altered,
and we must make sure that, once the virus is gone, liberty is
fully restored.
Because, as Thomas Jefferson said, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. P.S. If you appreciated this article,
Stay home and wash your hands.
From Pedro Show, we start off the second hour with Lower Interiors, which is Maggie Brandon. I sound stupid. Psycho after that, the Medicine Man. This is a band that did only one gig in the early 70s.
Oh, wow.
They were trying to get a second gig going, but the band fell apart. They're just out of high school. Talk about do-it-yourself. But the music's kind of trippy, kind of prog, a lot of parts. So my friend Byron Coley knows about all the, I think 50 records were pressed. Yeah, and one gig. Incredible. And, Psych, S-E-I-C-H, of course.
Yeah.
And Craig Bell, who actually lives in Indianapolis now, great cat, from Ohio, Rocket from the Tombs. Real to me. Schizo Fuel out of Amarillo with Wizard Oil. Megadot. That's Nanda in Trieste. He's living nowadays. With Stay Home and Wash Your Hands. And then finally, Penis Between Us. Daddy Don't. So what's the Daddy Don't prize, Maggie?
So my friend Therese and I.
The Dirty Knees lady.
No, different lady. I don't know, we've just, you just meet some people and you click and you can't stop laughing when you're together, kind of, you know, that kind of thing.
Those are the good ones.
Yeah. I don't know, we just had like all these jokes and stuff and just decided to start a band. I'd always wanted to play drums and had never really had a chance, and she was learning guitar, and so we just started doing it, and had a lot of fun with that. Our friend Brad Fowler, who has a lot of amazing projects too, goes by the Criswell Collective. He wanted to play bass with us, and we told him no, so he told us he would blow bubbles, and so he's like in the band, you know, and he blows bubbles for us and sits on stage. We like did a tour and people were kind of like, what's up with this guy? And then, you know, they were like cracking up that, you know, it's like another layer of the joke. It's like, yeah, that's actually what he's doing. He's on tour with us to blow bubbles, you know?
And the name of the band, I mean, you know, there's no dirty words, but what an image, you know? I remember one time playing with this band up in the city called Uncle Bob Touched Me.
Uh-huh.
You know, no dirty words, but...
But it's, yeah.
The image. Too bad they were just kind of bland hardcore, because sometimes that's all a band's got is a good name. But Daddy Don't's got... I like the sound, too. It's trippy. So people, you hear that? You want to play an instrument? Start a band. Right? It kind of forces the issue, right? I kind of did that with the stand-up bass. I wanted to learn it, so I thought, well, these Kill Rockstar people want me to do a 7-inch, so I guess I have to learn the motherfucker if I say I'm going to do it.
Right.
Yeah, I want to play another Daddy Don song. Now, I thought this was Lady Bass when I heard it, but when I heard it, I knew I was wrong.
Spirit and Sophie. I'm a lady that's of the sea, and I live inside your palm, and I fend off everyone. I'm a lady bat, I'm a lady bat, I'm a lady bat, lady bat, lady bat, spirit, and will be nothing. I'm a rubber shark of the sea, and I am king, and I rule everything. I'm a robot shark.
In this white man's world with my black pride, see the freedom, death, or homicide. Revolutionary nigga on that God shit. Poppin', left the bank from making a deposit. I got this, I planted out and then I go accomplish. I'm conscious, fly it in a blimpin' helicopter. I'm honest, burner in the holster. Soldier, smoking in stone like a sculpture. Stoner, grew up round sharks, snakes and vultures. I'm colder, sex, drugs, homicide and hip hop my coaches. Smoking to ease my mind, read books and exercise. Real niggas don't die, we recruit and multiply. Revolution on my mind, so I'm out here on my grind. Fuck it, quit banging, let's unite and organize. Ride, foot on the gas, bout 100 on the dash. Getting to the money and I'm getting to it fast. Carpooling with no passengers, see me flying past. Soon as I get my cash up, I'm moving back to Africa. I hold it down like gravity, making money every day to keep my sanity. Shit, I'm just trying to feed my family and make my dreams become reality. I'm still screaming, fuck the other side. In this white man's world with my black pride, it's either freedom, death, or homicide. Mic check, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Mic check, 1-2, 1-2. Mic check, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Mic check, 1-2, 1-2. Mic check, 1-2, 1-2. 1-2, 1-2. Mic check, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Mic check, 1-2, 1-2. Just a young nigga on some other shit, struggling. Did a lot of dirt, I guess it's punishment. Stuck in shit, reminisced on times when I was running shit, hustling. Now I'm out here feeling like a bum and shit. Fuck this shit, gunning with my pistol. Bad to the bone gristle, robbing niggas and who with them. I like getting money simple. It's hard out in these streets, niggas flossing like it's dental. Now I got the pistol popping like a thistle. Fuck this black power shit, I'm through with all these politics. I'm trying to show them love, but they testing me like college kids. A father now, I got a kid, don't wanna live in how I live. I'm trying to make the situation better with her moms and shit. She be tripping, so that's why I keep a distance. Pack my shit, got in the car, I'm on a mission. Carpooling with no passengers, see me flying past. As soon as I get my cash up, I'm moving back to Africa. I hold it down like gravity, making money every day to keep my sanity. Shit, I'm just trying to feed my family and make my dreams become reality. I'm still screaming, fuck the other side. In this white man's world with my black pride, it's either freedom, death, or homicide. Mic check, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Mic check, 1-2, 1-2. Mic check, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Mic check, 1-2, 1-2. Mic check, 1-2, 1-2. 1-2, 1-2. Mic check, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Mic check, 1-2, 1-2. It's not a game, how I slang. Got 100 songs worth more than a boat of powder cocaine. With 100 holes on one stroke, that's busloads of game. Slow your fucking throat, this traffic guy ain't causing no display. Ride with my lopes, but don't bang. Lose my temper quick, turn into a crib with no set to claim. California mind, my mind frame. Picture perfect, like photographic memory. Guerrilla war, on my coward ass enemies. With a barrel to your face, now you playing on my sentence. I think this rap shit is really meant for me. And us. Niggas in America coming soon, like I'm about to bust a nut.
Fascisti trule, učeni na mačame, neće uraditi. dealt with nothing but the hell to pay.
For Pedro Show,
yeah,
Lady Bass from Daddy Dope. Guy J writes with Mike Check, Ned O'Millick Cooperative, Fernanda again with, but this different mode. He's got a lot of time. You know, I'm getting music from my buddies because, yeah, I mean, what else are you gonna do is make music nowadays? Maybe not a bad thing.
Yeah.
That way, on that level. I heard King Lear was done during a quarantine. Whoever wrote it, I don't know if this guy, Shakespeare from...
Shakespeare, yeah.
Yeah, right? You know about the different spelling?
No, I don't.
Yeah, the guy from Avon, Stratford-upon-Avon. Yeah, and he signed his name five or six different ways.
Yeah.
A lot of people think this guy didn't write this shit. It was the fucking 17th Earl of Oxford. Anyway. Go down that rabbit hole on the YouTube. YouTube.com rabbit hole. You can get on that. It's a huge. Well, you know, it's a lot of the tourist industry, so they don't want it to go away. But, you know. Anyway, I'm getting on a tangent here. White Greg, Eric's Balls. Now, White Greg's another project, right? You're involved with.
Yes. That came about a little bit before Daddy Don't. Like, it was sort of in the same year, and The Sniff. Like, I was doing all three.
But there's guys in this band.
Yeah, it's...
And more than Bubble Blowers.
Well, you could say that.
okay. I qualify that.
Yeah, so Tyler, that was in Divorce, he played drums in Divorce, and he plays guitar in White Greg.
He's a mover, right? He makes things happen.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say that. He's a get her done kind of guy. Yeah,
shot caller.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to have cats like that. Because sometimes it just ends up, this is my fear of coffee houses. Like, they're just people spieling, nothing ever gets done.
Yeah, there's a lot of,
So thank you, Tyler. So he got this prize rolling and he enlisted you?
Actually, Eric, that played guitar, and I think kind of came up with the idea, and Eric asked Tyler, and Tyler's good friend Damien, or my good friend as well, but they grew up together in Venom Bands. Yeah, it's kind of like two pairs of people that have played together for a really long time. Tyler and Damien played together for a long time, and Jason and Eric played together for a long time. And I was kind of just, you know, yelling over it.
Right. Eric's Balls. Well, right. I mean, you don't stop there. You get to Tyler's. We heard Mario DeSandro with the Exit reprise and King Nippy out of Salt Lake City with Hume Reed. And then it's Tyler's Balls with White Greg. What about the name of the band? What's that about?
I don't even know. It was some kind of joke between Tyler and Eric, and we had been trying to find something, and they just thought it was funny, and
I saw on the album cover you're wearing a fucking name tag.
Yeah. I made those in the van on our first tour, so I was, like, keeping my hands busy.
And so, do you write a lot for White Greg?
Yeah, I did all of the lyrics are mine. Oh, all of our separate parts are our parts, you know. A true band. We all had our voice there.
And then after this you got together with your Teresa, right, to do Daddy Don't. And then the Lower Interiors. Now how'd that come around?
So I guess Eric let me borrow a I think it's a DD6 or DD7, the one with the loop on it.
It's a boss. Had a
little, a little boss guy. And he was like showing me.
So you can sample yourself and do loops.
Yeah, exactly. And so I just kind of started messing around with that. And I'd always sort of wanted a project that I could tour anytime, or just, you know, I didn't have to like get a hold of 8 other people to see if it was okay.
You're talking woman alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Lone gunman. And,
Petra Hayden, a friend of mine, she's done this where she piles up layers of her voice, and Laura Meyer at Rotten, too, I saw her do that. I think it's a great idea. Yeah, you don't have to rely on a bunch of... There's more room in the boat, too.
Yeah. It wasn't as fun when I was, like, on the road and got sick. That was, like, where it started to really feel like, oh, yeah, like, there's nobody else to drive. There's nobody else to... There's, you know, and, like, it gets lonely, you know.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But it's nice to have control, and it's nice to have, I don't know, just to be able to take my time with. I have been playing, so Charisse from Daddy Don't plays saxophone, and my friend Josh Ivester plays drums. And we were, for Big Ears, or the Counter Festival, Big Asses, we were going to play a set of Lower Interior songs, but they were going to accompany me, and hopefully we'll get to do that soon. We, you know, it all got canceled, but it was really fun playing with them, but it made me have to like rethink everything I had been doing, because I could just take my time with it and feel it out, you know, and now I have to like
the ensemble,
you know,
right? You have to
I have to be considerate of other people.
Right. Where'd you get the name?
So I have Okay, completely honestly, I have really bad teeth, right?
Yeah,
and,
me too.
So the ones in the very front on the bottom are called your lower anteriors.
That's right, yeah.
And I guess I was just, like, kind of making a dirty joke to myself about it and, you know, ran with it from there.
That's okay. I like it a lot. We're at the end of the second hour, April 1, 2020, Dish Wap Pedro Show, special guest, Maggie Brand. Hold tight for hour 3. April 1, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
thousand ships. Is staring out the window for your return. So much seems to happen by mistake, but soon you'll be
my favorite while. But now I know a conversation's aired before it's done. I'm living too long. I saw through the trees. Over poison river locks, dark treacherous ravine. Oh, but still my heart is a rock. Catastrophe to me. I walk down the devil's boulevard. Up until my heart is hard. I'm living too late.
Pedro Show, we started the third hour off with Divorce, something live from Sour Cream. And I know you were more younger then, but it sounded great, the band too. I followed him after that with Big Brown, Jerk of Ham with Three Pillars, Jerk of Graham, I'm sorry guys. Kangaroo, that's a name that could only exist in the last few years, right? And Kangaroo Court from Crane up in Idaho, You the Pimp. Destiny Calls, and finally, Living Too Late, Lower Interiors. So where did you record the Lower Interiors?
We did that at Stripe Light. So it's a record label. It's also a print shop and, like, letterpress print shop.
Yeah.
And then Jason's built a studio within the building of the print shop. And so we did it there, and... you can hear some, like, truck noise and stuff every once in a while, which I actually liked. He was kind of like, oh, no, and was like, no, that's good.
Yeah.
People don't know if it's, like, a, you know, supposed to be there or not. I guess now they know because I just told them. But
how long did it take you to do?
I think we did that in, oh, it was probably, like, three or maybe two or three sessions. You know, it took a couple weeks just to get together and get everything done. But, yeah, not very long. Everything's pretty straightforward. So we had a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot more stuff. Like, what am I trying to say? Okay, so I usually feed in loops of, like, songs to kind of sample, but we sort of left that off of it because of copyright stuff and... but there's a lot more material hopefully could put out sometime, you know, without it being official in any way so that no one gets sued. But
Well, you think about it, with this kind of format, couldn't you get your guys like Eric and Tyler to put together a little band and then sample that?
That would be horrible.
Forget that idea.
Yeah.
Who was the producer? Was it you?
Yeah.
So you got to be the shot caller. That's great. It's
yeah. Great. Jason, you know, was figuring out some ways to record it creatively, you know, I was going direct and then he was also recording the room and he did all the mixing and everything.
But, great job. Really good job. I want to play Cocksucker.
Can I just run when you're about to fail? happened to your shoes?
Ray Gundam. They took his shoes out of his gym locker.
And what? A shit on him?
Say what you will.
shit light. In this mixed up world, it's hard to know what's right. Hey, sunny day, I got nothing to do. Let's head to the beach while the sun's in reach. Hey, sunny day, put your toes in the sand. We'll solve the world's problems with a kick-ass band. Say what you will, think what you like. In a mixed-up world, it's hard to know what's right. Follow me, I'll set you free.
Yeah.
Why for Pedro Show, Cocksucker from Lower Interiors. Then Why I Carry a Knife from the Zigzags. San Ardo with Heyday. Like H-E-Y, get it? Nose, nose. I'll Take You There in Less Than Five. A.B. Normal. That's a riff on the Staple Singer. And finally, We Hide Our Trash. I mean, that's a wild ride, that tune. Man. Lower Interiors.
No, yes, I stressed myself out with that one.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying I stressed myself out with that one.
It is a stressor. But, you know, this sounds kind of stupid to ask, you know, but you know, what do you got planned next? You know, well, yeah, I'm sitting inside, you know.
Yeah. I'm probably going to make some biscuits and gravy.
But what about music-wise? What do you think of music-wise?
So I have a project right now. Our friend Ian Henderson has these really great, you know, funny but dark, kind of like Daddy Don't, like, you know, just funny but smart, you know, kind of songs. And he's been playing solo for a while. And my boyfriend William and I, William's a musician, he's got a bunch of bands here in town. And we were at a show, and we were just kind of watching him, and I, you know, had a couple of drinks, and I just, like, nudged William and was like, hey, we're his band now. And
so
I
wanted to
get him again. And so we're backing him up, and we're called Weird Ian and the Restless Legs.
And what are you doing? Are you doing drums?
I'm playing drums. William plays bass, and Ian plays guitar and sings.
Power trio.
Yeah, it's good to be in a trio again. It's fun.
Yeah, now, there's a lot going, I mean, compared to what was going on in Knoxville, it's happening right now, right? So,
It comes in waves, you know, people are doing a lot.
This wave right now.
Yeah, it's good. It's good right now.
And like, who would you tell people to listen to if you knew?
Oh, man. There's so many things. So, Horserer is one of William's bands, and they're kind of off the wall, like, I don't know, electronic, operatic rap. I don't even know how to, like, describe it. There's Temp Job are really great. Cherise plays saxophone in that. X Gold, Criswell Collective, Psychic Bouse, Roach Eaters, Hole Wizard, Bark.
Bark, we're going to have them on the show coming up.
Yeah, they're great. Tim and Susan Lee, they're great, great people and really fun. Just, I don't know, rock and roll.
And where can people find you on the internet?
There's the Bandcamp, the Lower Interiors Bandcamp, and I'm on Facebook. And
is there a Maggie Brandon website?
No, there should be.
There should be, right? Because
there should be.
No, this is why I tell people, the whole idea of from the old days of the fanzine, right? Nobody's in between you and that Kinko's copying machine.
Yeah.
It's a Kinko, I guess. But... I just think everybody needs one. Why not?
Why not?
Where they can have the unfiltered thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then from there, you can hang flyers on all those other telephone poles and shit. But I can't stress it hard enough. So maybe there should be a MaggieBrandon.com.
I'll work on that. Yeah.
I'm not trying to get all fascist, but just that I'm trying to extend that fanzine ethic thing.
Yeah.
Going on. And here's something else, because you've been doing this now, right? All the 2000s, 20 years now, right? At least.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there must be younger ladies, younger guys coming up in town, and they might ask you for advice. What would you tell them, Maggie?
Just do it. Don't be afraid to do it. It's the only thing stopping you is you, you know. And if people don't like it, screw them. You know, it doesn't matter. It's for you, you know. I guess just, I don't know, keep on keeping on.
Well, I mean, I get a lot of answers, you know. I think Hank Rollins said, don't quit your J job.
Yeah. my day job.
I think Hank's only day job was like Haagen-Dazs in DC when he was young with Ian, right?
Yeah.
But still, you know, there's no wrong answer, right? It's just your life adds up to some experience, so maybe you can enhance. Of course, everybody's got to find their own way, and that's what's kind of neat about it too.
Yeah. But I probably say just don't let anybody bully you into something you don't want to do.
Right,
you
know? Right. Or play something you don't want to play, or wear clothes you don't want to wear.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we already have enough of that kind of shit. And, you know, I forgot to ask you, did you ever have musicians that you looked up to as you were going down your music path? Inspirer.
Definitely. I mean, a lot of the people, there's a guy here in town, and this is recent, not really like growing up, but Dakota Smith has a project, A Certain Zone. He was really, like, seeing him play really helped inspire me to do Lower Interiors, just seeing what was capable with, like, one person controlling everything, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, being dynamic and you know, interesting instead of just a guy with a guitar, you know?
Sure.
But I don't know. Everybody, there's such great people here and friends, you know, Will Fist here in town really was like, he definitely encouraged me a lot to, you know, experiment and be, I don't know, be wild, be free, you know? So I looked up to him a lot and, mostly people here in town that were just doing stuff.
So was it far away, people you never met, like on the records, like the Scorpions?
Yeah, I dropped the Scorpions pretty quick, I guess. I don't know, you know.
I mean, there's no wrong answer.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been a little, you know, fangirl on some stuff. X-Scene, you know, Cervenka.
John Doe was a big hero for me as a young punk rocker.
Yeah. Her writing, his writing too, you know, is really, I liked, you know, just that kind of poetry, you know.
I think they met at Beyond Baroque, a poetry place here in Venice.
Okay.
not the Italy one, but you know, it's been a big honor to have you aboard the show. It really means a lot to me because, nobody picks where they're from. You get dealt a hand, and I think it's bitching.
Yeah.
You take the clay, throw it on the wheel, and let the freak flag fly. So keep it on, Maggie, please.
Thank you, Mike. It's an honor to be here.
Okay.
Yeah.
People, it's been April 1, 2020 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Time to compose and record since we're in quarantino mode. Keep your powder dry.